Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The Christian Andreacchio case was prematurely closed by authorities, but many questions remain. Come behind the curtain and follow private investigator Sheila Wysocki as she uncovers the truth about what happened to Christian. This is Without Warning. Warning, the following episode contains elements that are graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
The last episode you heard Cassie Coleman, Benny DeBose, Jay Arrington, Gypsy Ward, Tony Green, and Richie McAllister all discussing Christian Andreacchio's case. The focus was on the case file, who had it, and what was in it. Of course, they were able to get in several underhanded remarks about the Andreacchios, the family asking questions on the botched investigation. Two things everyone in that room agrees on. One, it was a botched investigation, and two, the body was moved. Even with that information about the investigation and the case, no one in that room feels the need to help this family and find out the truth. It appears the truth is what these six individuals decide. Many people have asked me where the tape came from. Who leaked it? Jay Arrington was asked directly if he leaked it. He denied it. He said he turns in the body cam at the end of the night to the chief. I asked Joel Hamilton if he FOIA'd the tape. He said he did. When we FOIA'd the tape ourselves, we were denied. Joel must have a very special relationship with the police department to get it. During the leaked meeting, Jay Arrington said Mark Gillespie, a private investigator and forensic expert, called him and said our team had new evidence. As you heard last week, I said that was a lie. It is. But I want you to hear for yourself from Jay Arrington speaking what was said between Mark Gillespie and Jay Arrington. You decide why Jay would say that. You decide what the truth is. In today's episode, you will hear the audio of Mark Gillespie reaching out to Jay Arrington a couple of weeks prior to July 1st. I have cut out two names in this audio because I promised these people I would not use their names. Jay Arrington obviously has a problem with these two individuals. To be clear, Mississippi does not regulate or require private investigators to be licensed. The two people that Jay Arrington is trashing are people that got more done than the police department or MBI at the time. The emails that Jay Arrington is referring to are going to be available to my Patreon group for discussion. Listen to the call between Jay Arrington and Mark Gillespie, and you tell me if Jay Arrington represented our intentions correctly in the leaked meeting.
Hello.
Hey, is this Jay Arrington?
It is.
Hey, Jay. My name's Mark Gillespie. I'm sorry I missed your call this morning. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm a private investigator. I'm working on that Christian Andreacchio case.
Yeah.
And I just thought I'd give you a shout to see, find out what the status of that case is and see if you could just chat about it.
Well, I mean, as far as the case, it's been turned down as far as trying to get an indictment on it by the district attorney. It was turned over to the state, and the state investigated it, and they declined to indict. So it's really not a lot of status there. You're working for the Andreacchios. I tip my hat to you because I've done everything I can to help the people. And all I get is, especially from Mrs. Andracchio, the most nastiest of emails of anybody I've ever had to tolerate email from. But, you know, I wish you luck working for them.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, it just seems like that case is, it reeks of a homicide, not a suicide.
Well, everybody likes to say that, and I couldn't even get the district attorney to agree with me on where he said that. What are you basing homicide on? Where's the reeking coming from?
Well, that's, I mean, just look, again, I don't have the full advantage of all the case file, but just looking at the pictures, you know, analyzing the crime scene from that.
Okay, where you got him sitting at? Where you got him at when he gets shot?
Say again?
Where do you have him placed at the time he gets shot?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think, personally, I don't think he was in the tub.
There's no way he was in the tub. He was sitting on the toilet.
Okay.
You look at the trajectory of the bullet. He was sitting on the toilet. The bullet went in the right side of his head. Outside the left side of his head, it struck the wall right next to the light switch and ricocheted. The projectile landed back in the tub. Okay. He was pulled off the toilet and plucked where he was at. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I worked that case quite hard myself. I couldn't even get that idiot district attorney we had at that time to concede to where he was at. But I said he was obviously sitting on a toilet. The bullet went through his head, hit that wall, and bounced back and landed in the tub. And he's like, how do you figure that? Well, I'll ask anybody, including you, if you want to sit down and get the pictures, how are you putting me anywhere else? Anywhere else except sitting on that toilet.
Yeah, I mean, I don't dispute that at all. That makes a lot of sense, especially with that.
Okay, look at the position of the guide rod on the 45 camber, the way it's canted at an upward 45-degree angle. If you take that camber and put it in your hand, you make a curl of your arm, you stick that gun to the side of your head, where's that guide rod going to be?
Well, it's going to be over by that that wall, that outlet.
If you take, I'm talking about the contact one on the side of his head. If you take the gun, and just like anybody's going to shoot yourself, you place that barrel, you put it in your right hand, you place that barrel to the side of your head, which way is the guide rod going to be pointing? It's going to be pointing up and slightly forward.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe he's sitting on the toilet. Earlier in the evening, he's already saying, I'm going to kill myself if you leave me to the young lady, and they got the gun away from him, you know, more than once. This time he had the gun in his head, pointed to his head. Somebody tried to get that gun in front of him, and it went off. After that, they moved his body where he's at. And then Dylan Swearingen, he had his bank card down trying to get his money out of the bank, so I would say that's who pulled him off that toilet, put him where he was at, was trying to get his money out of the bank. But did he have the gun in his hand when it went off? I believe it was.
Yeah,
if anybody wants to debate that, I'd be glad to sit down. If you come over here and try to look at the pictures with me, I'll be glad to go over every bit of it with you.
Well, I'm not certainly not debating it. I would love that opportunity anyway. But how do you account for the gun being wedged between his knee, thigh, and the tub?
It was put there.
Okay, I would agree with that. Do you think the crime scene or the bathroom was cleaned up before you guys arrived there?
Yeah, I do.
Because the blood spatter on that from the left side of his head towards the door and the sink and the wall.
There's no doubt they altered the crime scene.
Yeah.
I wanted to pursue that charge, but before I ever got involved in the case, the statute of limitations already ran on it, so I couldn't get them with tampering with the crime scene. The statute of limitations ran out.
Yeah, that's got to be frustrating.
Well, I wanted to charge him with the homicide being by, you know, caused by their own negligence, because they got the gun prior to get it away from him, and he just slowly threatened to shoot himself. But you're gonna give him back a loaded gun? He didn't. When he said he was threatening to shoot himself and all this. You get the gun away from him. You didn't call his family. You didn't call for medical help. You didn't call the police. You didn't call anybody. And you give it back to him. Yeah. So, I mean, right there, I mean, when he killed himself, the responsibility fell on them because they knew the mental state that he was in. They got the gun from him, but they gave it back to him.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that that gun being decocked?
Remember, we have first-hand eyewitness testimony on the gun. It was not decocked by anyone at the scene.
I think more likely police, from what I've seen, first thing they want to do, I've never understood it, they always want to make it safe.
Yeah.
And you take the cops always going to pick it up and fiddle with it. I've had millions of years. Well, you know, that's why you play with a gun? Well, I was making it safe.
Yeah,
well, if it's laying there, nobody touches it. It's not going to shoot itself. So exactly how are you making it safe? If you leave it alone, it is safe.
Yeah.
But cops, I mean, all over this country, cops, when they, especially the first responders, first thing they want to do is they get there, and the guns anywhere around, they want to make it safe, you know?
Yeah.
They want to mess with the damn gun. They do that. They always do that. But who probably put it there initially after he was shot? Probably Dylan Swearinger before he got his bank card, went to get his money out of the bank.
Yeah, that was incredible.
But the thing about it is, when I ran to, I wanted to try to get an indictment for the cop that's dead by their own neglect. And I say, if we get into the drunk, a drunk, you won't murder or nothing.
The Andreacchios have nothing to do with what someone is charged with. I've never heard so many people point fingers at a victim's family.
This is Jess Betancourt, the host of DNA ID, the only true crime podcast that exclusively covers cases solved using forensic genealogy. DNA ID goes behind the headlines to answer your questions about this remarkable new crime-solving tool, how it works, how cases are selected, why the cases were unsolved for so long, and how the justice system is addressing it. I include input from law enforcement to give you the inside scoop that we all crave with a straightforward, no-nonsense delivery. You can find DNA ID on any podcast platform. Episodes come out weekly on Mondays.
Well, it don't work that way in the real world. You go the best charge you think you can get a conviction on. But she wants murder or nothing. And you ain't going to get no murder on that case.
Yeah, but
you cannot prove a murder.
Yeah, so what do you think is the best charge?
Well, the charge is that this is caused by their own neglect. I have to look up the exact charge for it. It's manslaughter by your culpable neglect. In other words, they had the gun away from him. They didn't call for anybody to intervene in his mental state or anything else. And they give the gun back to him knowing he's in that mental state. Well, when you give his gun back to him knowing he's in that mental state, he's not stable and he's trying to hurt himself with it, and you give it back to him, then you got manslaughter by a couple of negligence.
Yeah. Well, what about the DA, Bilbo Mitchell? Was he hard to deal with on this case?
He wouldn't even concede to the fact that he was sitting on that toilet when he was shot. Now, he asked me, how do you come up with that? And I told him with a damn tape measure. I told him, how do you come up with your ridiculous ass theory? I mean, and you take like the NBI investigators, man, their theory was he shot himself in the head in that bathroom, that bullet run all over that damn bathroom, looking shit in like a Moscone pool shot, and it ain't possible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no, the bullet didn't impact the bottom of the tube. When they talking about bullet strikes, no, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. He was sitting on that damn toilet. He had a pistol pointed to the side of his head. Somebody tried to grab it. That pistol went off and shot him in the head. And then after that, it was, oh, shit. They drug him over in the bathtub. Yeah, they did, clean up the scene, there's no doubt. And the police did mess with the pistol because the bug they had there when we had this chief we had for about a year, that's a whole other story. He had the biggest bunch of damn rookies in there working at crime scene I've ever seen in my life. And they didn't have a damn clue. But he was sitting on that toilet. He was holding that gun to his head, having one of his emotional moments. Somebody tried to take the gun away from him. This time he said, bang. And it's like, oh, shit. The cash cow, the money train's done shot itself. It put your ass like you was. They tried to get money out of the bank. They tried to use it to their advantage before everything got there. Because they knew once they found out he was shot, that's the end of the free apartment and all the alcohol and drugs and all the goodies that they was getting. And all that was over with. So they tried to get that last little money out of the bank, get that last little hoorah. He's right down video doing it. Now, I believe he was shot when he was down there with that bank card trying to get that money out of the bank. I believe he was already shot then. He was just trying to get the last little cash that you get out of that deal.
As far as Whitney saying,
oh, I slept through it. I'm in this little bitty apartment. Yeah. This little short barrel 45 pistol went off and then, oh, I slept right through it. But when he come down there to say he had shot himself, he just shook her a little bit and she just woke right up. She slipped to a 45, shot to the side of him, somebody. She didn't hear that 45 roar and then that apartment went off. But when they went to wake her up to you shot, he just shook her a little bit. Boy, she just smiled right too.
Right.
That's bullshit in big fashion too.
Yeah.
She knew he was shot. Well, you knew he was shot. Now, like I say, he was sitting on that toilet holding that gun to his head. He was. Now, either her or that other guy swagger tried to take his gun from it, and bam, it went off.
Yeah.
That is the only way to get those fits together.
Yeah. Now, there was GSR on Dylan's hand as well as Whitley's, wasn't that correct?
Yeah, GSR on the hands, and of course, you know, said where it's come from shooting prior to and all this. You know, I think Whitney had GSR on her hands. And you know and I know why they had GSR on her hand.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, do you... What's that?
The thing about it is, if Andracchio, especially Mrs. Andracchio, always got along with the guy. As far as why, I understand the loss of the son. I've lost one of my own.
I'm sorry.
But as far as this, send me his messages about how they got you and you uncovering all this stuff and I must be corrupt like everybody else and getting paid and corrupt and all this. I done heard all that. I'm going to listen to that woman.
There has been no mention from Mark Gillespie regarding evidence, what has and hasn't been found. This is all Jay Arrington's narrative.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So I spent more time working on this damn case than anybody else. It's just like she hired this dingbat lawyer up in Madison, Mississippi. And I go up there and she's got her little guy, that's her investigator. And my, they just absolutely, it's a homicide. It's a homicide. Just like I told her, well, okay. She told me that she'd been a prosecutor for Rankin County over Jackson all this time. And she's this, she's that, she's the other. I said, well, okay. Well, show me what you got. Show me how I can prove it's a homicide court. Well, show us what you got. I said, well, you called my ass over here because you're saying you can prove it's a homicide. Show me. Just like you. If you can prove it's a homicide, show me. I'm all ears. Yeah. I'll show you what I come up with, and I got this step by step how I come up with it. If you think it was a murder, show me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, I agree 100% with you that I don't think it's suicide.
It wasn't suicide. He's sitting there with his old baby. You leave me, I'll just kill myself. Oh, this is terrible. Right. You just the sweetest shot of ass I've ever had. You leave me, I'm going to do this. No, you're not. Reach for the pistol. Bam. Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Now we got a mess. Well, you know, drag him over there. Let's get his wallet and go get some money. Let's get all the can out of this before the popo gets it. We'll clean this stuff up. We'll make it like he shot himself. I don't want to say I grabbed that pistol and he blew his brains out. But you're already guilty of manslaughter by culpable negligence when you got it from him earlier in the same damn evening, knowing he was liable to do that. You had the chance right there to get some help there for him. You had the chance to prevent that from happening. And you had the gun. But you give it back to him.
Yep.
All that's bullshit. But even admitting that, you've admitted to manslaughter by culpable negligence.
Well, what do you think the future of this case is? Is it dead in the water?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. Because, see, Well, it was handled the first time by this part where I worked. That guy we had for a chief for about a year, he had me stuck in I used to work cold cases. I used to work homicide cases. But he had me stuck in a closet in the back of the office. You know, I'm the internal affairs guy, and you just stay back there and be quiet. It's like, okay.
Oh, you're a troublemaker.
I'm a troublemaker because, I mean, I'm going to call it what it is. Like I said, that woman, Ms. Andragio, when I said, man, so about couples, no, we want murder. Like I told her, I don't give a damn what you want. Facts. I go on what facts will tally up to. Pull the hound, cha-ching, the total of the facts, that's what you get. You know, just because you want a murder don't mean I can give you a murder. Like I told her, I can't give you a murder, but I can give you manslaughter by couple negative. Well, that ain't good enough. Okay. Swell.
Well, the Mississippi Bureau of Investigation, their report or their investigation, it didn't say a whole lot. I mean, it don't
because you got this old girl that worked for the sheriff's office for a while. Her name's Gypsy Ward, and she left the sheriff's office. I wanted to work over there in the AG's office, and she was going to present this last time. And she even asked me, could I go in there present it with her because I knew the fact the case better than she did. It's not a problem. And come time for her to present, crickets chirping. They didn't call me. They didn't want me over there. I didn't get... That's Mr. DA that wouldn't even agree that he was sitting on the toilet when the gun went off.
Well, speaking of the DA... Go ahead.
Well, you got one now. She's running for office. She got a point because our other DA we had for years and years and years... Mr. Let's Make a Deal, he decided to retire after his kid died of a drug overdose.
Is that Bill
so
Bill?
Now they appointed this lady, Cassie Coleman. She's the DA now. And damn, but I don't think she's a bigger idiot than what he was. But right now, since she's running for election, she's never been elected before. She's just appointed to finish out his term. Now she's running for election. The only thing she's worried about is politics and getting votes, not pissing nobody off.
Yeah.
So... We get laid down before the election? No, not a chance. We get laid down after this election? Maybe. Possibly. But, you know, the ones that cause more harm to this case than anybody else is the Andrachios.
Oh, is that right?
I know they want to see it done, but they had these two idiots that called themselves private investigators. One of them used to work at the police department here for a while. They run a damn sporting goods store.
I have blocked out the names of the two individuals Jay Arrington is talking about.
The big high-rolling private investigator, they ain't never investigated nothing in the damn life, but they was bleeding Andrachios for money. That amounted to nothing.
These two individuals that Jay is talking about did receive money.
And then you got this Max, whatever his name is working for this lawyer up in Madison.
Let's break this down. First of all, the attorney that Jay Arrington is speaking about is a very well-qualified attorney. The investigator that Jay Arrington is talking about is Max, who you heard from in Culpable. Max challenged Jay Arrington, and that's why Jay doesn't like him. Cynthia challenged Jay, and that's why Jay didn't like her. And, of course, she's a female in the South. What I have found is Jay Arrington makes a lot of assumptions, one of which is about money and how many people are making money on this case and how many people are being paid. Once again, he is incorrect.
He's another one. I mean, as long as somebody's writing a check, it's a murder. Okay? But he never showed me just exactly how it was a murder.
So I seriously doubt that Cynthia and Max set up a meeting and Jay Arrington showed up with the case file.
Like I say, if you want to come over here, I'll sit down and go with you. I'll look at the pictures with you. And I mean, I'll go do everything with you. And if you think it's a murder, show me how you think it is. Put it on paper. Put it on some of the grand jury and say, that's a damn murder.
Well, Well, you know what? I would like to take you up on that. Not necessarily to dispute you, but just to see what.
Trust me. I ain't the most know-it-all person that ever lived. Now, I mean, if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong in a heartbeat. But like I say, I got my theories of what happened, and I can go off the crime scene, the facts, and what I can show, what I think happened. If somebody can turn it into something else other than what I think happened, I'm all ears. I'll listen to anything anybody wants to say.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that.
The thing they're going to have to do, the Andracchios, if they want any help from me in resolving that case, they need that last email she sent me, I said, Ben, that'd be about enough of that, about how I must be, you know, corrupt, taking pay, and all that, you know. As hard as I worked on that case with them after it was screwed up so bad, and I tried to work on it in part just because they had a dead kid. I wasn't doing it for a paycheck. I thought she had a dead kid. Then she gonna send me them shitty emails accusing me of corruption and all this stuff all the time. That ain't the way you get help.
I don't know exactly what
I'm supposed to be corrupt about, really.
Right.
I fought like hell to try to get that case past that stupid ass district attorney. He waited it just before I was gonna present it to the grand jury. He shot it over there and let the AG's office handle it.
Wow.
Just before time for me to present it to the grand jury. Of course, his kid was tied up, him with her kid and a lot of other. Well, she won't submit it now. She likes talking about what a doper everybody else's kid was. She needs to look in the damn mirror, you know?
Yeah. Well,
nobody.
I think that was a low blow to Christian. And I also think that Jay Arrington needs to get his facts straight. Christian could not have kept his job if he was on drugs.
Nobody's kids is perfect, but Bilbo Mitchell's kids was tied in with that group of kids when this guy got shot. And she wanted me to drag him into it somehow. And if you don't drag Bilbo Mitchell, the former district attorney's kid, into it, well, you must be part of the conspiracy cover-up, whatever.
Yeah.
And like I say, them people need to get over themselves a little bit. I don't know how to get hooked up with you. If you can work for them, I'm proud for you. I tried to work for them, and I tried to do the most for them, and I didn't ask for nothing, not even a thank you.
Yeah.
And I get all these, there's always her, you know, what a shitty, corrupt owner, take being paid off, pile of trash you are if you can't make it a murder.
Yeah, I understand.
So, what does she want you to make it into?
Well, I'm just looking. My goal is to collect the facts and figure it out based on my experience, my knowledge, just like you.
That's right. Just you like let you. The facts lead you. You don't lead the facts. That's what I told her. I let the facts lead me. I don't lead the facts.
I'm not being told.
That's what I told her.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And that's what I told her. I try to get the truth for you. The truth is, she don't want manslaughter by a couple of negligence. She wants a damn murder charge. And that's the only thing going to make her happy is a murder charge, and she ain't going to get it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Well, what was your...
I know in my own mind he was sitting on that toilet holding a gun to his own head, because you can stand any way you want to stand. You try to stand there in front of him sitting on that toilet, because by the bullet trajectory, that's where he was, that bullet hit the damn wall. And you stand there and try to hold that gun and tilt that guide rod up like that, tell me, how are you going to be standing there holding that gun like that, standing in front of him? It ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. The guide rod stamped in his head, that tells which way that pistol was canted. And if you point that gun... Well, that guy robbed the cannon like that, and you stand in front of him, you're going to have to roll that thing over where the magazine wheel is almost going to have to be pointing up looking at you to get that guy right inside of his head like that, and nobody holds a gun like that.
Yeah.
But if you put that gun in your hand, try it with anyone you choose, just take it, put it in your hand, curl your arm over, and point it to the side of your head, and tell me if that barrel don't land on the side of your head with that guy right just like that. Then you get in that little old bitty ass bathroom, you stand right in front of him, because it's just a little walkway, you got a sink, you got a commode, you got a tub, you stand there in front of him like you're yapping with him. How are you going to put the gun to his head and tilt the guy right up like that?
Yeah.
He's got it in his hand, he's trying to get it from him, and it went off. That's what happened.
Yeah, I can see that. I can definitely see that.
Okay. Well, like I say, anything else you want to go over, just load up, come on over here, and I'll go over any way that I can to try to help you. Despite all her shitty-ass emails to me, I would still like to resolve this case, Bob.
Well, good for you. That's awesome. Well, what is your title? Are you Captain of Investigations?
I'm the Captain of Investigations now. You go all the way back to when I was a detective working investigations, just working general cases, detective working cold cases, detective working cases and working internal affairs.
Okay.
Just working internal affairs. I mean, I've been playing this game for nearly 30 years.
Yeah, well, good for you. So when this case was in 2014, when Christian was killed.
We had an idiot here. The first black mayor of the city of Marion got elected. He brought in his chief, and he was an absolute lunatic. He brought him in here as a political favor to a person that helped finance his campaign. And he brought him in here and made him chief. He liked to destroy this whole department. He told me.
Who was that?
James Lee.
James Lee? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can just go on the internet. You can still see stuff on there about James Lee. He wasn't here. He didn't survive about 12 months before even the mayor had to cut him loose. He was trying to fire everybody down here that had any dime in. He decided that I needed to be over internal affairs and I still keep the office that he put me in just for the sake of so, because it is actually a storage room of cleaning supplies right beside the door you go into the jail. He shoved me in the back of the building and said, stay there now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent all my time back there, and as soon as he come away with Mary, you know, I went from lieutenant to captain and eventually running CID.
So he was the chief when Christian was
He died. Was the chief. I think he was living in the same apartment complex out there.
So did he roll over with the DA?
All he did, he showed up at the time. He had a bunch of very green detectives down trying to work the thing. He walks in there and says, anybody can see this as a suicide, roll it up and let's wrap it up and get out of here.
Okay, so I heard that. So that was the chief that said that.
Yeah, James Lee.
I'll be darned. Okay.
Sure did. But like I said, the detectives I had at the time were some of the very greenest rookies we had at that time. It was a very difficult time for this police department. Whenever he was here, he set this place back about 25 or 30 years. He tried to run all the old people off, and he wanted to run me off. He just didn't make it. But he had his own little agenda when he came here. He's a state representative named Benny Thompson. He's a representative for North Mississippi up there. He backed the mayor's second run for mayor, and he didn't get elected the first time, but he backed him on his second run and he got elected. He handed that job to James Lee because James Lee was one of Benny Thompson's big buddies. So he rolled in here. I ain't never seen nothing like that man before or since, as far as just being an absolute idiot trying to destroy a police department. But we had people protesting in the parking lot, citizens building up the parking lot there protesting about that joker. I mean, he was just off the chain.
Wow.
But he's the one. He didn't help this case none either by blowing in there, you know, saying this is obvious suicide. Yeah, wrap it up. He shouldn't have done that. But like I say, I'm not impressed with the casework they've done to start in. Did they screw up the scene to start with? Did they do the right kind of investigation? No, they didn't. I mean, nobody can dispute that. But all these people that these drug killers are like his lawyer up in Madison and her guy, let's say two private investigators from a sporting goods store. And all that, when they put all their crap in there, that clouds up the case.
Yeah, I got you.
That clouds up the case. In other words, if you ain't going to put something in there that's going to move the case forward, you need to keep it out of the case file. Because that's another reason that Bilbo didn't want to touch it. Because no matter who touches that case file, they all came up with different opinions.
So when did
some of them went from, you know, like the deal with the NBI, this ricocheting bullet all over the room like a pissed off hornet. And I'm like, this is supposed to be state level people investigating this. And I'm like, where in the hell did they come up with that theory that they come up with?
Yeah.
That's the kind of stuff that's clouded this case up.
Yeah. Well, when did you come on board in this case?
Oh, I was way late. I mean, I was after the James Lee had come gone, after the case had done been shelved, after all these various PIs and lawyers have been hired, come and gone. They've got a guy that works here. He's supposed to be the cold case investigator. He's just assigned to the chief of police. He don't work, man. He worked on it for a while, and I think Ms. Andracchio got over his skin, and he just said, screw it, I ain't going with Andracchio no more. And then the chief called me and said, he's giving it to me. I'm like, okay. And I went to work on it, and I got it all the way ready to, I was ready to go to the grand jury with it, and then Bilbo Mitchell pulled it and sent it to the AG's office just to stall it some more. And then that idiot, named Gypsy Ward, she's a woman that thinks she's a guy that used to work for the sheriff's office over here. She ain't never worked a damn case like that. She goes in there and bumbles through it and the DA at the grand jury and they just can't. But after all that work I did, I didn't get to go away and present one thing that I did for all that work. Bill Mitchell took it away and sent it over to the AG's office. He just wanted to kill it right there because I was going for manslaughter by a couple of negatives, and I believe I would have got it.
Yeah.
But Bilbo Mitchell, he screwed that up for me.
So you think Bilbo Mitchell's motivation to kill it was his son's involvement?
No, I don't know what his motivation was to kill it because Bilbo Mitchell is a guy that don't want to go to trial or nothing. He likes little simple cases where you come in there and you make a plea deal because he was all about his stats, his numbers. To him, a plea deal is a win. If you win it in court, that's a win. But a plea deal is a win.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to go to trial or nothing like that.
I hear you.
And that's what he wants. He wants something simple. They walk in, they just bam, take a plea deal, and that's it. And one like that, he just did not want to fool with it.
Yeah, that's a shame.
He did not want to go to trial and put it in front of a jury, which I was all for it. I would love to sit there and be able to explain why he's sitting where he's at, and I know that body's moving, I know that bathroom's cleaned up. And like I say, you had obvious, even though they can't be charged for it now, you got obvious tampering with crime scene, tampering whatever. I mean, you got that, just, you got it.
Yeah, I agree.
That in itself supports what I'm saying about
the charge.
My theory of what happened.
Yep.
And what I got when I went through the crime scene, I believe, and they keep talking about this Knox report, and all this Knox report. Yeah, well, that's fine. You got a Knox report, but their report ain't gospel. And I didn't get to see what they did. I never got to sit down with them to this day to ask them how to come up with their conclusions. And then compare my conclusions with theirs to see who makes the most sense. I never got to communicate with them people.
Yeah, well, no one has actually said who did it, how they did it, what the trajectory was.
I know exactly what the trajectory was.
Yeah, you've told me more information than I've heard from anybody or anything. So
I know exactly how the committee was about the same height. I sat on that toilet, I put that gun in my head, and I looked right at that wall, and I said, yep, sitting right here, gun right here, gun in his hand right here, right there. And I can just picture him arguing, somebody reached to grab that gun, bam.
Yeah. Well, Captain Arrington, I appreciate you talking to me, and I
I'll talk to you anytime. All you got to do is just keep the cell number. It's my direct number. You can talk to me anytime. You're welcome to come over anytime.
Well, I'll take you up on that offer. I really will.
Like I say, just call me whenever you want, and I'll help you any way I can, but the thing you need to communicate to the Adrakios, I'm not the damn enemy. Quit treating me like one.
I hear you, and I'll definitely do that.
I'm about the only one that still wants to try and help them. It's accusing me of taking payoffs and stuff. That ain't going to get it done now.
Yeah, I got you. Well, I'll...
That's just reality right there. If you want somebody's help, you know, to stick their hand out to help you, you don't shit in the hand. I mean, if you want to help you, act like you want to help you. Don't kid me being a liar and a thief and corrupt and everything else. That's not the way to get help. I mean, I think we can agree on that, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Man, I want to help them because they lost their son.
Yeah.
I want to make them understand what happened. Now, who put him in that tub? Dylan Swagger put him in that tub. That's when he had the opportunity to get that money card out of his billfold and go down and try to get money out of the bank.
Yeah.
That's who put him over there. As little as she was, ain't no way in hell that she could move him over there.
Yeah, I agree.
She ain't big enough to move him for. Dylan had his money card. Dylan, you know, went to the bank, you know. Well, that card came out of his pocket, so, you know, I had to get it out of his pocket, throw him over in that bathtub, let him bleed out in the tub. You can do that bleed out in the tub, get his money card, and then you clean up the wall over here. It won't look like he's over here, it's like he shot himself here at the bathtub. I got his money card, and we'll report it after I get the money out of the bank, and then, you know, all will be good, because he won't be reported dead after I done got his money.
Yep. I agree.
Does that make sense to you?
I'm tracking 100%.
Yeah, well, that's how I see it. Like I say, if I'm wrong, I'll put some salt and pepper on it and eat it, but that's what I'm seeing.
Well, I'm not arguing with you on that at all, so.
All right, well, you know where I stay. Come on anytime. I'm open all the time.
All right, I appreciate it. I'll text you my email address and website. You can look me up and if you have any questions.
All right, like I say, I'm here if you need any help. Just anytime, you can call me 24/7. That ain't no joke. I got you following me all the time.
All right, man, I appreciate that.
Take care.
All right, you be safe.
Everyone wants a hero, especially a police officer, someone who is there to protect and serve. Mark Gillespie shared this tape with our team. Everyone agreed Jay Arrington sounded sincere and maybe, just maybe, would break away from the establishment. We were all so hopeful that there was a good guy among them. Every once in a while in a case, I have someone who will step up and be the hero. Mark set up a meeting to go over the file, share what we knew, and see if we could move the case forward. On the day of the meeting, Mark confirmed the meeting with Jay Arrington. We showed up around 1 o'clock. By 1:15, I knew Jay Arrington was not going to be the hero in the case. He was not the guy you heard on the recording. He had no intentions of going over anything or helping. Once I heard what Jay Arrington said in the leaked meeting, I felt you all had to hear this audio and come to your own conclusion. Please share your thoughts on Without Warning Facebook page. What were your thoughts about what Jay Arrington said in this audio? I will continue the conversation with bonus episodes on my Patreon page, Without Warning. Please go to withoutwarningpodcast.com and buy a t-shirt and show your support to Christian Andriacchio.
Christian's family gives their full permission for any and all details to be shared in hope that the truth will come out. If you know anything at all, call 1-888-599-0008 or email tips@sheilawysocki.com. If you or someone you know is dealing with suicidal ideation or is actively thinking about taking their life, please call the National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. If you enjoy listening to this podcast, join Patreon today. Without Warning, executive director, executive producer, and host, Sheila Weisaki, and announcer, Tim Evans.